Thank you. I restrained myself, did I not, Sandra? You know why? They made fun of me back there before the prayer. I was dancing and everything, and everybody's just like, felt like a children's sermon all over again. I'm like, I get it. I'm not a musician. I'm not a singer. Now I'm not even a dancer. I'm just, it's just sad. Sad. Not as sad as the dolphins, but it's still sad. Which, by the way, the dolphins, I guarantee you, will not lose today. We're not playing. Nah, right. The Hurricanes, what happened? What happened to the Hurricane? No? We don't know what happened. You know what? They were at Eddie Decker's surprise party. That's where they were. All right, that was just a fake team that was there. UCF Knights lost Friday night. It's hard. It's hard. So you'll notice we've got the pink bulletins. Many of us are going to be wearing pink. We're doing all of this in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But I want to talk about a different kind of cancer with this sermon this morning. It's a cancer that threatens our spiritual lives, and it erodes our lives of discipleship. It's a cancer that we see in the world, and from politics to the church. It's hypocrisy. Amen. Hypocrisy. It's a danger that threatens and weakens us way more than failure. In our passage, we are reminded there of the sincerity of faith. Sincerity breeds trust. If we say we're going to do something, then the person we're speaking to knows that we're going to do that or make every effort possible to do that. We may fail, but we won't fail for lack of trying. We will have given it our best. And they believe in us and they trust us, not because of our gifts, not because of our talents, not because of our skills, but because of who we are. They believe, they trust in us. Sincerity breeds trust. Now, disclaimer, sincerity doesn't make us right. You can be sincere and wrong at the same time. It can happen. But sincerity and that honesty, again, breeds trust. A calculator, okay, is going to be honest, all right? It can be honest. It can be right. It can't be sincere. We can be sincere. It's going to be important to be that. Sincerity is when we're free from any pretense. We are able to look at ourselves honestly without deceit or hypocrisy. It's that mixture of seriousness and honesty. If we do things with sincerity, people will trust us. It's when we're able to speak and act in accordance with what we truly believe and in our thoughts and in our desires. And in the movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, I know you were just waiting to hear about the movies, you know. So in the movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, okay? And you all have seen the movie, all right? Lord of the Rings. And it's not about Jesus. Not that Lord. There's a different Lord, okay? So the Lord of the Rings, all right? And the company's down in the mines of Moria, okay? And the goblins, there's thousands of goblins, okay? But now there's this ancient demon. Do you remember the scene? Do you remember the scene? And the bridge, and the company is trying to escape, and all these goblins, and now this ancient demon is coming. It's the Balrog, okay? And the Balrog is threatening the whole company. Everything is depending upon this. And Gandalf goes out on the bridge alone. Do you remember that? To confront the ancient demon. And he proclaims who he is. And he says to them, he says, I am a servant of the secret fire, the wielder of the flame of Anor. You cannot pass. Remember that? Do you remember that? It's a dramatic line. It's a dramatic turning point in the entire movie. He prohibits evil from progressing any further. I am the wielder of that secret flame. And to that evil, you cannot pass. Now, I mention that image because each one of you, each one of us, are not wielders of a secret fire. We are wielders of a sacred flame. A sacred flame that burns within each of us. In that scripture passage, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, the NIV translated, fan into flame. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Now, if you were at the Bible study, I gave you the Greek word for that. The Greek word for that is anazoparin. 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 It is the only time in the New Testament that word is ever used. And technically, the way it gets translated is upliving the fire. Paul is telling Timothy, the fire of God is in you. Let it come out. You are a wielder of a sacred flame. Go out into the world. Confront the demons. Confront the evil. Protect the people in your charge. You have it. You have anazoparin. The fire of God resides in each of us. So many times we let that go. Now, we don't know what discouragement Timothy was dealing with. Obviously, it was something that maybe it was a grief, maybe it was a loss, maybe it was professional, maybe it was personal, but he's struggling and he's having a hard time. And all of a sudden, he gets this letter and these words of encouragement. Whatever he's dealing with, he's being reminded it's not final. It's not over. It's not the last word. But it can happen to any of us. We could get discouraged, devastating loss, a gnawing disappointment. It just kind of steadily erodes our joy like a cancer eating away at us. That bright flame that once burned so brightly and passionately begins to fade out. The flame becomes a flicker. The hope becomes a whisper of smoke. We forget sometimes that Jesus didn't just come to die for our sins. He came to show us how to live. How to live our lives and to empower us and to remind us that the resurrection power is in each and every one of us. Because God is in each of us. Each of us are children of God, called to be disciples of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are wielders of the sacred flame, the holy passion of God's love and God's grace. In 2 Corinthians, we're reminded, Burl, that was pretty good, but right before that part of the passage, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that we won't be wrong. It means, though, that we can be solid with God. God says in that passage, let the light shine out of the darkness. Let it shine, because the power belongs to God. Yes, we are afflicted, but we are not crushed. Yes, we are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. Yes, we are struck down, but we are not destroyed, because God is in us. Anazoparin. The sacred fire that is within each and every one of us. The upliving fire that is in us. The prayer that some of us meet weekly and we pray the prayer. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Because the world has a way of sucking that flame dry and making us think that we're always going to be defeated, always going to be crushed. And that sacred fire is in each of us. And God is calling each of us. Be the ones that confront the demons. Be the ones that confront the dark. Be the ones that confront evil. Stand firm in the fire of the Lord, the fire of God. Be who you are created to be, who Christ has empowered us to be. Sometimes I know we think like having faith is like having the force in Star Wars. Y'all ever watch Star Wars? I'm using movie. I gave up on books, so... Star Wars, remember? There's a magic wands and stuff like that. Not like Harry Potter, it's Star Wars. And in that, you know, sometimes people think that being a disciple is like being a Jedi. And if you saw the movie The Last Jedi, I don't know if you saw that, and Luke asked Rey what she knows about the Force. What do you know about the Force? And she says, oh, it's a power that the Jedi have that control people and move rocks and things. And Luke answers and says, impressive. Every word of that sentence is wrong. Sometimes we think that's what faith is. The ability to somehow control people and move rocks. Oh, if I have enough faith, I'll move that mountain. Really? You think Jesus called you into discipleship to move a mountain into the Atlantic Ocean or something? Is that what he's looking for? Is that what we think? Faith isn't about controlling people. It isn't about controlling outcomes. It isn't about our power or our strength. It's about our relationship with God, which is why sincerity is so important. For faith to work, we have to be honest with God. Our sincerity isn't what we don't think God knows where we mess up. Our sincerity. The biggest danger to our faith is not doubt, it's hypocrisy, that pretense, that self-righteousness. Oh, if only everybody was as holy as me. Really? I'm holy, like Swiss cheese is holy. That's how I'm holy. I'm missing more than I have. That's the way, well, Norma Ann pointed it out to me in Sunday school this morning. It was nice, I appreciate it. I'm telling you, you have no idea what goes on in that class. It's a wonder I get out at all. I'm just letting that sit for a while. Sometimes we think of faith as being quantifiable, that if we have a certain amount, if we only have a certain quantity, if we just have enough, if we learn enough of the right things, that somehow we're going to be successful and we're going to make rocks move and mountains move. But faith isn't about quantity. That's why at that one time when he was so frustrated with the disciples, he said, it's not about how much. You can have it as tiny as a mustard seed. Would you get it through your head? This isn't about accumulating a whole bunch of faith. This is about living your faith. Faith is not a noun. It's not an it. It's a relationship. It's a verb. It's how we live it out. Is it sincere? It's the quality of our faith, not the quantity of our faith. Is our faith sincere? Is it honest? Are we willing to go to God without that pretense, without the hypocrisy? We think sometimes that faith is the ability to manipulate outcomes and control as an antidote to anxiety and fear, that if we have enough of it in our spiritual pantries, then we're always going to be happy and always going to be holy and always going to be strong and always going to be brave. If only I have enough faith, then I can just go to the closet and pull out a little bit more faith for the day's battles. But faith is a verb. It's a living faith that propels us to become engaged, willing to stand as a wielder of the sacred flame, confronting the evil, not because we trust in ourselves, not because we know we're going to be successful, because our desire is to be faithful and knowing that we are not standing alone. It's not our gifts. It's not our skills. It's not our talent. Faith isn't deciding once and for all to follow Jesus. Faith is trusting in Jesus one step at a time, one day at a time, for the long haul, every day of our lives. Faith is a willingness to imagine that we already have everything we need. The only thing that is missing is our consent to be who we are. Be the people God created you to be. Be the disciple Jesus called you to be. Be that which has empowered you through the Holy Spirit. Be who you are. There were four Christian scholars having a debate about which Bible translation was the best. And one of them said, the King James Version. The King James Version is the best because that old English style just has a way of flowing and just moves my heart and spirit. The second scholar said, well, I think the New American Bible Standard is the best. Word for word, from Greek and Hebrew to English, it is the most accurate of all the translations. The third one said, I happen to think the New International Version, the NIV, is the best. It's the most readable, it's smooth, it reads smoothly, and it's easier to follow. And they look at the fourth scholar, and he says, well, actually, I like the way my mom did it. And they look at it, I did not know your mom. That's why you got so good. Your mom was a Bible scholar? Your mom translated the scriptures? And he looks at them and he says, every day of her life. Timothy is reminded about his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and the impact they had on his faith formation. But not everyone's been blessed that way. Not everyone has that blessing. Not everyone has that heritage. You've heard it said before. We are the only Bible that some people will read. We are the only way that they ever translate God's love and God's grace is through our words and through our actions. That's how people come to understand God. That's how people come into a relationship with God. One more movie. In the movie, A Few Good Men, we all know the line Jack Nicholson says, "You can't handle the truth." It's a powerful line. It's a powerful moment, and I've used it before in other sermons. But that's not the line I want to talk about. Earlier in the movie, I can't remember the actor. Tom Cruise's character talks to Demi Moore's character. And he asks her why she chose to become a Marine. Why are the Marines so important to you? Why is that so important? And she says, because they stand on a wall and tell us, no one is going to hurt us tonight, not on our watch. That's who we are as disciples. That's who we are as wielders of the sacred flame, the Anapurain. We're the ones who go out on the bridge alone sometimes, feeling it, knowing the fear, and we confront it not because of who we are, because of our strength and because of our gifts, but because of who resides within us. And we are protecting the company, and we're letting the rest of the world know, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Anapurain, the sacred flame, the sacred fire. The Spirit of God refuses for evil to have the last word. You are loved. You are protected. You are safe. Each one of you are wielders of the sacred flame. Anapurain. Say it. Anapurain. 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 Claim it. Claim the promise of God in your identity. Amen.